Welcome to day 159 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have been reading through the book of Proverbs, and this week we are reading from the New American Standard Bible. Today's reading comes from Proverbs chapters 16, 17, and 18. So beginning at Proverbs 16, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. The fury of a king is like messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is a fountain of life to the one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eye does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Chapter 17. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who acts wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully, and will share in the inheritance among brothers. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. He who mocks the poor taunts his maker. He who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince. A bribe is a charm in the sight of its owner. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. He who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man lacking in sense pledges and becomes guarantor in the presence of his neighbor. He who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. He who sires a fool does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A wicked man receives a bribe from the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and a bitterness to her who bore him. It is also not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Chapter 18. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes scorn. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. The cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between the mighty ones. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In the book of Proverbs, we have heard throughout the chapters that we've read so far a multitude of scripture verses that apply directly to the subject of human speech, about words, about the tongue, about how it's used. We've heard about the destructive use of speech. We have heard references to lying, which is an abomination to God, false witness. We've heard about flattery. We've heard about gossip. We've heard about cursing. All these destructive uses of this gift of speech that was given to the human race by God Himself. But we've also heard about the positive effects that a person's words can have. Good words, the words of the righteous, that the pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. We've heard about comforting words, making the heart glad. We've heard about well-timed words, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Well-thought-out words, and many other references to the blessing that words from a godly person can have an excellent and a positive impact on a person's life. But with all these references to speech and words and the use of the tongue in a human being, to me, the capstone of all of these different verses on the subject of speech, to me, the one that is found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, is to me the cornerstone verse on the subject of speech. Proverbs 18:21 reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now that is a very strong statement, and I have had Christians even tell me that we shouldn't take those words so very literally, that death is in the power of the tongue. And yet that is exactly what the Word of God tells us. The word translated death here was in the Hebrew a word that referred to natural or violent death, pestilence, or ruin. The tongue has power to bring forth physical death, ruin, or pestilence, which means a plague or anything regarded as harmful. And I truly believe this. Proverbs 13:3 told us, "He that opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Proverbs 18:7 told us that a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are a snare to his soul. So we find that the Word of God confirms itself. We see many scriptures that make a reference to that. Back in Proverbs 10, verse 31, it said, "The perverse tongue shall be cut down." And in Proverbs 12:13, it said, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips." But going back to this idea that there is actually the power of death in the human tongue, this is something that we need to take seriously. I know that words can have such profound impact on the heart or the spirit of a person. Many people can think back to their childhood, and even if they're an elderly person today, can remember specific words spoken by perhaps a parent or an authority figure such as a teacher that wounded them so deeply that even in their old age, they can remember clearly the words that were spoken. Perhaps it crushed their hope to someday become a doctor, lawyer, or some other occupation. But maybe the teacher told them, "You'll never become that. You're too stupid," which, sad to say, has definitely occurred in many a classroom. And yet, those words effectively killed any hope or aspiration that child had to become a certain particular occupation. So there is the power of death in the tongue, and there's definitely the power of death to bring on physical illness or even physical death. I have worked in East Africa for over 10 years, and I have seen the results of curses that were spoken with the intention of bringing death on a person, which sadly had its intended results. You may say, "Oh, that's ridiculous. Someone speaking a curse to kill someone can't possibly happen. And maybe it was only the power of their mind where they got into such fear that they died." Well, even if that was the case, the words had their intended effect, whether it implanted such a spirit of fear that the person died of fear, having a heart attack, or whether there was a more sinister spiritual component, which I believe is the case in many African superstitions. We would call them in the Western world, but the truth is there is a spiritual world, a dark spiritual world that's in existence right now, and there are many witch doctors in Africa who are in touch with that world and able to utilize it for a most destructive purpose. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Hebrew word that's translated life in that verse means to revive, to keep alive, to make alive, to give life, to promise life, to preserve alive, or to recover, repair, restore, to be whole. We know that words can bring healing, words of encouragement, words of comfort. The Bible tells us the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Proverbs 12 told us the tongue of the wise is health. That gives us the idea of bringing restoration. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. And Proverbs 14:3 told us the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So we see a life-giving element to the words or the speech that comes from a wise person, a righteous person, a person that knows, loves, and honors God, that the words that come forth from their mouth give life, restore, and repair, and revive. If you've ever been in a position where you were so downcast, and yet you had someone come along that spoke such words of encouragement, comfort, and hope to you that you were literally revived by those words, then you can understand the power and the life that is incumbent in the tongue of the wise person. God says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. I believe that God puts a high value on our words. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of on the day of judgment. So we see that Jesus said that words are very important, and that if the words are idle, that is something that's very displeasing to the Lord. And do you know that word idle in that verse from Matthew 12 means inoperative or unemployed or unprofitable? So any words that you're speaking that are not profitable to those around you, or they're not employed in the way that God would have you utilize your words, then those words, by God's estimation, are idle words. They're not being employed properly. They're not being profitable to other people. I believe that God gave human beings this gift of speech, which He did not give to any other part of His creation. Even though He made many different types of animals, He did not give any of those animals the gift of speech, which was given to the human race. And therefore, the gift of speech was given to us for a very divine purpose. And I believe that purpose was to speak life, to speak blessing. And yet, we've been given the choice. We can speak life and blessing, or we can speak death and cursing. And that is why Proverbs 18:21 very clearly lays it out. There are two directions which your words can take. There's the way of life, or there is the direction of death. And that's a choice that every human being has. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Which will you choose? And do you take this word from the Lord seriously as God would have you take it? You know, Satan himself, our adversary, the enemy of your soul, is very familiar with the Bible. And he knows the truth of Proverbs 18:21. He knows that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You could say the devil believes the Bible, and he tries to use it to his own advantage. And he takes advantage of people who are ignorant of the truth of God's word. And sad to say, there are many Christians, many believers today, who are very ignorant of the truth of Proverbs 18:21. They either have never heard of it, have never had teaching on it, or when they heard it, they dismissed it as not being something to be taken literally. That death and life are in the power of the tongue, that doesn't mean what it says. But God's word does mean what it says. There is the possibility of death being spoken through your mouth, or there's the possibility of life and blessing being spoken through your mouth. And you have to be diligent about your speech, about the words you choose, about how you use this gift of speech that God has given to you in your life, or you will without doubt end up speaking death without even realizing it. Think about modern speech today. If you did a study and read through words, whether they're in the newspaper article or whether they're being spoken by people commentating on the television or some other media, you will find that there are many expressions used in the English language today that have reference to death. You've undoubtedly heard or even used some of these expressions, such as, I'm sick to death of that, or I'm scared to death, or you look like death warmed over, or that just about killed me. Think of all the different expressions or idioms like those I just mentioned that people use on a daily basis. And here the Word of God is telling us that there's death and there's life in the power of the tongue. And yet we so often use death and words about death to describe how we feel, what we look like, and things like that. I sincerely believe that the devil himself, the enemy of our soul, would love to seed the English language and whatever language you speak with words of death so that people will use those words and begin speaking words of death, because the devil knows the truth of the Word of God, that there's power in words. And when people begin to speak death and cursing, even in a joking way, it does have an impact. It has a very negative impact. And just the opposite is true as well, since the Bible tells us that there's life and blessing in the power of the tongue. And yet, many Christians, believers today, walk around using death and killing and all of that as expressions, idioms, ways to describe how they're feeling on a daily basis, and having no insight into the fact that that is not wisdom, and that is exactly what is the opposite of what the Word of God would exhort us to do with our speech. God wants us to be speakers of life, speakers of grace, speakers of blessing. The book of Galatians in chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 tells us that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So you have to consider that your words are seed into the spirit realm. You need to choose your seed wisely, because whatever seed you plant, you will reap a harvest in your life that corresponds to the seeds you have planted. So if you're planting seeds of death all the time, that just kills me. You almost killed me with what you did. If you start speaking words that regard death and negative things like that, you are going to reap a result from that type of speech. We want to speak life. We want to speak blessing. We want to speak what God would have us speak. He gave us the power in words, in speech, the power of the tongue to be used for His purposes, for life and blessing for the human race, and for your individual life and the lives of your family members. Paul the Apostle was very attuned to this biblical truth when he wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, only good words." And in Colossians 4, 6, he wrote, "Let your speech always be with grace." So he knew the power of words as well as did the writer of the book of Proverbs. The Apostle Paul also wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, "Avoid corrupt words, speaking that which edifies." He went on to say in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, "Abstain from filthy talk, giving thanks instead." He was well aware of the power of the tongue. The second part of Proverbs 18:21 says, "Those who love it," love the tongue that is, "will eat the fruit of it." In other words, those who understand this principle of God-given speech, and that your speech, in your speech, you have a choice of going in the direction of death or in the direction of life. Those who love the fact that God has given us this amazing gift of speech and the power that's incumbent with it, that person will eat the fruit of it. They will eat the fruit of speaking life and blessing, and their life will correspond to how much they have loved this gift that God has given. I believe that the Bible clearly teaches us that your entire life will go in the direction of your words. Now, that may sound like a very strong statement to make, but I believe I have biblical basis for that. James chapter 3 describes the power of the tongue in a person's life by comparing it to the little rudder on a very large ship. And that little rudder is turned according to the steering of the captain of that ship. If your tongue is the rudder of your life, and you're the captain, so to speak, of your tongue, able to direct it in one direction or another, then your entire life is going to go in the direction that the captain turns that rudder. So you could say your life goes in the direction of your words. So if you will recall that in John 10:10, Jesus gave us Satan's mission statement when he said that the thief, which is Satan, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. In other words, it's his entire mission on the planet Earth is to get people to be killed if possible before they give their life to Christ, to steal from them while they're still alive, whether it's their health, their marriage, their happiness, their joy, whatever, or to destroy in any and every possible way a person's life, because Satan hates human beings who have been made in the image of God. So if his mission purpose in life on this earth is to bring death and destruction, as Jesus clearly stated in the Gospel of John, then you can understand why he would be so very interested in what you do with your power of speech, how much you pay attention to the words that you choose and that you utilize on a daily basis. And therefore, Satan would be very interested in trying to influence people to use words that sow seeds that will bring death or destruction to a person's life. If Satan could influence a person's speech pattern, their speech habits, I guarantee you he will do it. If he can deceive you into thinking that your words do not matter, or that they have no impact, or they have no effect on your life, if you really don't mean them, then I guarantee you Proverbs 6:2 will come to pass. That scripture says that you can be snared by the words of your own mouth. God wants you to use your speech for life, blessing, to minister grace to the hearers, and to be sowing seeds of life to every person that you meet, and over your own life as well. Satan, on the other hand, wants you to speak death, destruction, hopelessness, depression, and many other types of negative emotions and scenarios by speaking hopeless and destructive words. But you have a choice. You can take what we've heard today from the Word of God very seriously and begin to assess the words and the expressions and even the idioms that you use in your daily speech and decide to eliminate any and every word, phrase, expression that constitutes speaking death or a curse, or even when it's said in a joking manner. I've heard parents say words like, "You're going to die if you do that. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to break your neck," when they're trying to get a child to stop maybe climbing to a high height. No, you don't say words like that. Those are speaking death and destruction. Choose wiser words. If you're trying to get your toddler who's just climbed up to the top of the refrigerator, simply say, "Stop. Don't climb up there. That's not wisdom." And take the child down. Don't say, "You're going to break your neck," or "You're going to kill yourself," or things like this that are used with the intention to incite such fear that the child won't repeat the action. That is not wisdom, but that's exactly what Satan would like for you to say with your words. Plant that seed in the child's mind. Plant that seed in your own mind. It will only bring destruction. God wants us to be wise with our words, life givers with our words, speakers of grace and blessing with our words. It's a choice you have. I encourage you today, be a speaker of life and blessing. Remember the power of the tongue that's been given to you, that there is death and there is life in the power of your tongue. Make a wise decision this day, this week, and for the rest of your life, how you utilize this gift that's been given to you by the Lord. God bless you and give you a victorious week.